Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. The Business Roundtable has a new corporate purpose statement, and you dig into this a little bit.
We dig into it by talking to a couple of folks. One's a Grand Valley State University Stedman College professor, as well as we got some thoughts from Jim Keane, the CEO over at Steelcase, on what's called the Statement of the Purpose of a Corporation. Now, let's set this up. The Business Roundtable is a national organization of corporate CEOs in America. These are large, multinational corporations that employ millions of people and have a little bit of influence on the economy here in America. This statement on the purpose of a corporation was first put out more than 40 years ago, and it's been updated periodically. The latest update that came a few weeks ago had a new wrinkle to it, which is to say corporations do not exist simply to serve shareholders. That's been kind of what the statement has said for the last 22 years, that they exist principally to serve shareholders. Now you have a new version that redefines that role and takes into account corporations should consider the communities where they do business, their employees, their suppliers, their vendors, the environment, and it kind of puts all those stakeholders on an even plane. It's something new. It's kind of a bold statement by the corporate CEOs in America. So we, in this week's edition of MIBiz, we run the statement, and then we have a couple of perspectives, again, with Tim Seifert. He's a business professor there at Grand Valley, and also got some thoughts from James Keane over at Steelcase.
And what did they add to this? They're somewhat of insiders. You have an academic who's looking at this from the outside in. What are their conclusions?
Tim Seifert at Grand Valley really offers, he hopes this is real and not just what he called greenwashing. He uses the example of sustainability when that movement really took hold years ago. You had a lot of companies saying, oh, we're sustainable, we practice sustainability, but they really didn't. Because there is a way for companies to really get kind of outside third-party validation on their sustainability efforts. So that's one concern he has. We can say we are, but are you actually really doing it in practice? But he made a couple of really interesting points, which is we're going through this generational shift in America. The millennials, better or worse, they're different, this particular demographic age group. They want more meaning to their work. We're in a tight labor market. They're looking at your corporation. Should I go to work there? What do you stand for? What is meaningful? What is your company about? And if you're not more than just what's the bottom line, what's the benefit to the shareholders, they're questioning whether that's meaningful to them and if they should go to work there. The other issue is they're not going to buy your product or your service. And that's just a generational value. I try not to generalize, if I can say that, but it's a value that seems inherent in this generation. So when I talked to Tim, he says that's one of the issues that could really put this ideal into practice is if a company wants to draw that talent, they're going to have to maybe change the stripes a little bit.
We'll switch gears here a little bit. There's a serious groundwater issue in Ottawa County. It may not just be Ottawa County. I think if you look at the geology of the state, there will be other counties feeling the same impacts, and that is that population growth, along with agricultural use too, we're seeing the aquifers declining in a number of counties. And Ottawa County is at the epicenter of this. And truly, it's the center of the county itself that is at the epicenter of this. As you see more subdivisions that are being constructed, we're looking at county officials that are beginning an education process explaining how dire this is and what the community needs to do to perhaps let that aquifer recharge a little bit.
Yeah, what you need to do is start thinking through about how often, if you have a well, how often you're using that to sprinkle your lawn. We all want nice green lawns, but here's a consequence. And it's not just the water usage and growth and subdivisions. There's also the way Sydney Smith, my coworker here at MIBiz, explains. There are geological issues here in Ottawa County that over 50 years is causing this aquifer beneath the middle of Ottawa County to become somewhat depleted. It's down, I think, 40 feet over the last many years. And that's caused some of the communities. Olive Township was the last one back in May, put a moratorium on new developments that use well water. If you're going to build a home, if you're going to build a subdivision and a project in Ottawa County, they're saying you need to connect to a municipal water system. That costs a lot of money. So that's expensive to do. So there are some real ramifications here for the future growth and development here in Ottawa County as this aquifer continues to get a little bit lower each and every year.
Behavioral change is oftentimes slow, especially when you have that visual, this giant body of fresh water that is right on your doorstep. And everyone is used to agricultural production in the region. So how do you get someone to change? As you mentioned, sprinkling their lawns or running the dishwasher and the washing machine all the time. These are daily uses of water, and there needs to be this re-education. They're talking about xeriscaping in some neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, certainly flipping on that tap and having nothing come out of it is going to get somebody's attention real fast. You're right. Change, behavioral change is difficult. But the county, there's a group within Ottawa County that's trying to think this through and what can we do about it. And the county planning department hopes to have a plan to the Board of Commissioners here in the next month or so. Just talking about revisiting first the county's groundwater ordinance and the standards for low impact design and green infrastructure behind what's currently required. How do you use less water? Do you require, just countywide, do you require every home built to connect to a municipal water system? There are ways to do it, but it's more of right now just getting the word out and educating folks that there's a problem that needs dealing with. And then you go into the practical solutions and try to get folks to adopt those.
I'll put in a plug here. WGVU Public Television is working with Detroit Public Television and its program Great Lakes Now, and we are currently editing an 8-minute investigative piece on the groundwater issue in Ottawa County. That will be airing later this month on WGVU Public Television. All right, affordable housing. That's always a big issue, and it looks like Holland is beginning to tackle this problem.
Yeah, it's a big issue everywhere in Kent County and Ottawa County, everywhere. And the problem for business is, again, a tight labor market. We've talked about that issue many times here on this program. Drawing employees, recruiting employees to come work for you. Well, if they can't afford to live in that community, they're either having to travel a good distance for that job, or they're simply not coming to your company to work. There's some folks here in Holland and the Zeeland areas here in Ottawa County. They've started an initiative. Basically, they want to create a fund that would help developers when they're building a housing project to kind of make it more economically feasible, financially viable to do lower cost housing. Because if you look around the county over here in Ottawa County, there's not a whole lot of starter homes going up. They're larger, more expensive homes, both when you talk multifamily and single family. So that pre-development work, the idea behind this pre-development fund is kind of look at how can they provide some assistance for site control, environmental inspection, site planning, local planning approval, and kind of help defray some of those early costs to make affordable housing a little more financially viable. The fund has a number of groups involved in it, including the Community Foundation of the Holland-Zeeland area, and it's targeting to raise $2 million. As of July, they've got more than $1 million from investors. That includes Brooks Capital Management, the West Coast Chamber of Commerce down in Holland, and members of the Padnos family down in Holland. That's the family that owns Louis Padnos Iron and Metal Company. So there's some interest in this because it is an issue to business. How do you attract that talent and bring that talent in? And if folks can't afford to live in your community, they're going to go elsewhere to work. So it's a novel idea that's coming together. And again, bottom line, maybe help defray some of those costs, those planning and early costs of a development, to see if they can bring developers in who are willing to do housing projects that have a little bit more affordability to them.
What numbers do you have? How great is the need, and how many units would be necessary to fill in the gaps?
Well, there's some data here in the story that some national research showed that between 2000 and 2017, Ottawa County added about 20,000 households. That's outpacing the state growth trend. And by 2022, the county is projected to add another 6,000 households. So they're looking at, obviously, one solution isn't going to tackle the whole problem, but the investors really hope to kind of back some developments with a minimum of 50 units to them. They've identified some potential properties for projects, and they're hoping to find more. and what municipalities, what communities will really embrace this. So there's not a whole lot of numbers to it, other than they're kind of looking at maybe they could see 500 to 600 units developed over the next 5 years. Yeah, they would consider that a big time success. So that's preliminarily some of the numbers that they're looking at. It's a small portion of the housing stock, but yet it's a step forward in the beginning of the process to try to get some affordable housing here, some entry-level housing, residential units that a lot of folks can more easily afford.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you.